People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw After Show, and have we got a show for you. We've got Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins tearing down the building. We've got tag team tournaments galore, and we've got Bron Breakker becoming the Intercontinental Champion all over again. Before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Justin Labar and Emily May. Emily, welcome to Mondays.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here on Mondays. It's May Mondays now.
Making the show all about yourself, huh? Is that what this is?
I like that you got the dress code of let's do some red or some burgundy. You know, it's nice.
Yeah, look at this. I got fancy red background and everything. Jack, you didn't get the memo.
I am not wearing commander colors on this show.
You don't have to wear commander burgundy. At least wear, you know, she's got nice red on. You can wear some raw red, Monday Night Raw red, you know.
Well, I'm wearing the dark colors of Judgment Day Jack today. Jackment Day. No. Justin, my fantasy football team got destroyed. And I hate it because it was one of those things where I was looking like, well, maybe if I started someone else on the bench. Nope. Any combination I did wouldn't have worked out for me this week. Bad week for me. How'd you do?
I won. I'm fine.
Wow, such confidence.
We played hard. We coached hard. I won. In real life, my quarterback got injured on the Commanders in the first drive, so we're hoping that he's ready to go for next week. But we still won 40-7, but whatever it was. But you know, since I'm a little nervous in the football world, you know, because I, you know me, at this time of year, I live and die. My emotions live and die.
Wow. Did you see the exciting like Texas versus Georgia game where Texas just decided to throw a bunch of stuff on the field?
I did.
It wasn't very nice. I'm not saying that was a nice thing to do.
No, it was not.
Well, we got a lot of unnice things that went down tonight on Raw. But before we talk about all those, we got to talk about we're going to miss somebody. And that is none other than Samantha Irvin. She has announced in a surprising move that she has finished her run as a ring announcer for WWE Raw. Fightful Select and WrestleVotes reported that many within WWE were surprised by Irvin's departure, Fightful further reported that some on the WWE staff noted her announcement was so sudden that she, quote, couldn't have possibly informed everyone before leaving. That said, some within WWE had been expecting Urban to leave eventually after her fiancé, Ricochet, departed the promotion earlier this summer to join AEW. Justin, this totally took me off guard on Twitter today when I saw the news. What do you make of this? This, I think, took everyone by surprise.
Well, first, let me say I've said it, I've tweeted it before, and I'll stand by it. I think Samantha Irvin, from a, just talking about her ring announcing skills, I think in the 3 years that she was there, I think she's etched herself into one of the best ever. And that's not an exaggeration. That's not trying to give flowers on a day that somebody's departed. I think you can make a case in WWE's world, she's top three all time. And then if you want to expand in all of pro wrestling, all the territories, whatever, I mean, I think she's definitely in the top five, top 10. It depends on what it is you look for in that. I don't think her departure has anything to do with Ricochet. I know people want to go to that. I don't think it has anything to do. I think, in fact, I understand. I do believe that there are many in WWE who were surprised, but I don't think this was a last minute thing to her. I don't think this was a quick erratic decision or feeling. I don't think so. I think she's going to probably go, and I think she's probably going to pursue her music. I think she's I would not be surprised if we see her pop up in that space, and we'll have to see. She's obviously, she's very over with the wrestling crowd, with the WWE crowd. She's total baby faced on social media today with her departure news. So we'll see if that translates, if she can take that fandom and that fan base over to, you know, support whatever the next project she does, stream and buy her music. Yeah, we'll see. But for everybody who's like, oh, she's going to show up on Dynamite this week and it's all because of her. Yeah, no, I don't think this is, she's her own woman. She's got her own thing going.
Yeah, I saw recently, or somewhat recently, that she had signed with a talent agency. I don't know which one off the top of my head, but I agree with you. I think that this feels like she got something lined up outside of pro wrestling. That said, if I'm Tony Khan, if I'm Dana White, you know, if I own a boxing company, I am backing up the Brinks truck for Samantha Irvin. Emily, what are your thoughts on all this?
I mean, I'm with both of you and the whole wrestling universe. I think we were all shocked this afternoon when it broke. And the fact that Raw was tonight and we were all wondering whether she was going to be ring announcing. And there was a lot of banter back and forth about that. I mean, I think there is going to be a big hole missing. I think she brought something to WWE that was never done before, an energy. And I know, you know, we'll get to like Lillian Garcia and stuff like that, but like it definitely, she brought an energy that was not necessarily allowed for a really long time, and a passion for the announcers. And so I think she changed the game in that way across the board. And she is going to be missed. She's going to be missed on so many levels. And Jack, I think there is always that speculation of like, oh, she's going to jump ship and go over. But I honestly think you're right. I think she's going to do music. Who knows if she got a movie or TV deal. I mean, she could be writing music. She could be doing all of these things that she doesn't have time to do when she's on the road every single week traveling. So, and she has a family, and, you know, sometimes it takes a toll. But it did feel very sudden. So I just wish her the best and hope that she's happy. You know, that's all we can hope for. And I'm going to just like make a nice reminder that we should all be kind, because there's also a lot of like negativity too. And I think that takes a toll on people, especially when you're in the ring announcing role or like in the limelight like that every week. So I think we should just give her a little grace too. And we'll find out what she's going to do when she's ready to let us all know.
Yeah. And I do think the suddenness of it is what makes me think, Justin, that something has already, she's already got something lined up. When it's sudden like this, it's rarely that like, oh, I want to start looking for things. If it happens like that day, then clearly she's figured something out. And again, I'm with you. I don't think it's going to be ring announcing wise, but that doesn't mean if I wasn't Tony Khan or anyone with the company, I wouldn't be like, here's your blank check.
Yeah. Well, I think she also had to tell certain people, obviously, to make the whole Lillian Garcia thing happen, but she couldn't tell everyone because we know things get around, things leak. Mm-hmm. So she probably was told like to keep it very to a small circle. So I feel like that's why we all, that's why people backstage, things like that, were so shocked because she couldn't tell everyone. And I think that's probably part of it, is you have to tell someone, they have to make plans. And they did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not as sudden as, you know, as it seems to all of us and seems to some who didn't know. And look, you know, I don't think she's going to be an eight. Like I said, I don't think she's going to be a Dynamite this week. But that's not to say that, you know, again, she does whatever she's doing next project wise. And it's not to say that it doesn't have that doesn't happen eventually, that, you know, she wants to jump back into wrestling, or she wants to have a vehicle to help promote other things she's doing. And, you know, if WWE is not an option, then, you know, yeah, her husband is over in AEW, and Tony Khan is known to have quite the heavy checks that he signs. So you never know. But at the moment, that's not where she's going.
Yeah. I mean, we also saw her sing the national anthem at the Raiders game this past weekend, right? Did mm-hmm. I get that right? Yeah, this past weekend. So she has connections in other sports organizations. I know, Jack, you alluded to it, but I think any sports organization would be lucky to have her as kind of like a in-game, you know, broadcaster and host.
Yeah, she's one of the few ring announcers, to Justin's point about her being truly one of the best. With no disrespect to anyone else in the game right now, without the name Buffer, very few ring announcers actually feel like you're getting a truly different experience when they're up there. And even the ones who are really good, like they're like, there's definitely bad, don't get me wrong, but like when you're at that top level, there's the top level and then there's the, oh, this is a different experience. And she's definitely one of them. But they've got a lot of great people in WWE still that are going to be able to step up. I can't wait to see who else. Maybe Mike Rome comes back up from NXT. And then Alicia Taylor, obviously, on SmackDown. I don't know if that means someone else is going to NXT. I do ring announcing. we'll have to see what the plan is for that. We got some news, speaking of NXT. They are going to be going to the world-famous ECW Arena. It's still the ECW Arena to me, Emily May. That's where NXT is going to be on a special Wednesday night NXT. Clever NXT going to ECW Arena when they're going to be on the same night as AEW.
Yeah, I mean, this is very interesting news. Justin, you've been to shows at the 2300 Arena.
I got to work a show there.
You got to work a show. I've done many, many New Japan shows there, and it is such a great venue. You got the mural, the famous mural that everyone takes a picture in front of. I won't spoil where it is, the location of it. That's a fun tidbit that some people know.
You mean Philly?
In Philly, yeah.
Oh, you mean the mural? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Oh, people are going to need to get there if they want to see the show.
We know it's in Philly, but the actual placement of the mural inside the building, Justin knows. If you know, you know. I'm excited because this is a historic venue. I think it's a great size venue, and Philly fans are the best. And I know they were in Philly tonight. And so Philly fans are amazing. They're wild. They're crazy. They'll bring that energy.
Yeah, Justin.
This is exciting. Yeah, it's exciting. My personal experience, this is about a decade at least ago, but there was a few short-lived hardcore like ECW attempt to revive, and I can't even remember what the actual show that I was on was called, but you know, Meanie was there, and it didn't last, but just to throw to be out there and to be backstage and to know that you're part of, you know, this thing once demeaningly called the Bingo Hall by Jerry the King Lawler, and to shut it down and call it third rate, it has now risen and has lived on to be Hallowed Halls. It's not Madison Square Garden, but on a level for some fans, it is sacred ground for wrestling fans and the history that took place there. So it's a thrill to be at. I was thrilled. You know, it was my first time working in Philly, and I, as I was making my way down the street. Some guy drove by in a convertible top down and yelled "F you, LeVar." So that was a great throw. I was like, "Oh, I'm already getting heat in Philly. This is great." But no, this is, and look, I was thinking about this, and I don't know if either of you, I don't think, again, so other wrestling companies have ran there, of course. There's been independent shows, Busted Open's done stuff there. I don't think WWE has ever done anything there under the WWE or NXT brand that I can recall. I just, it was something Vince never would do. And so I do think this is going to be the first WWE produced television that will be there, which that's a thrill. NXT has shown that they excel at these smaller venues and making them look energized and feel energized, both in Orlando and when they've just now recently gone back on the road. So that's exciting to see how they dress the venue up and how they shoot it for television. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't say, of course, they're going head to head against AEW on a Wednesday night. And we all know Tony Khan, he was the biggest ECW fan. So Tony's got the ECW arena going against him. Head to head, TK's gonna watch out. Shut his Twitter down. Lock his Twitter down on that day.
The feelings. I'm sure the feelings. I'm sure there's lots of feelings going around. But what I love is one of the last matches I saw at the 2300 Arena was for New Japan, and it was the Philly cheesesteak ladder match, and we hung Philly cheesesteaks above the ladder in a little like bag thing, and it was brilliant. If you have not watched it, you need to go watch it. But that was like, of course, you have to do a crazy match like that at the old.
Was it a working Philly cheesesteak or was it a shoot Philly cheesesteak?
Oh, it was a real one. And I have one, like I have our the laminated like graphics that we used. I have one on my fridge. I turned it into a magnet, so I have like the giant Philly cheesesteak.
Nice. But I will say the one thing I disagree with Justin on is I think that on that day, don't take Tony Khan's phone away. You should lock him in a room with just his phone. I want to see it all go down, Tony. Let me know. But I love this kind of competition. This is the kind of competition I love to see. That's going to be a fun time. But speaking of shows and legendary arenas, WWE's annual post-Christmas live event at Madison Square Garden in New York City has yet to be announced officially. But there's been a backstage update on the fate of the show, according to Fightful Select. Even though graphics advertising both live events and TV broadcasts throughout the rest of the year have dropped and the annual spectacle has not been listed on them, there is still hope within the company that it happens. Emily, for those who are unaware, they, being WWE, always do a big show at Madison Square Garden after Christmas. It would be kind of a bummer if they weren't able to get it done this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that things are changing so much, especially with the debut of Raw at the beginning of January. I think they'll figure it out. And it's like right after. It's like the second. It's the day after Christmas.
Yeah, right? The 26th.
So the 26th. So that's just tough timing all around. So hopefully they can figure something out. And those shows are always fun to go to. Like the holiday tour shows are really fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you both have been to them, but it just has like a different feel to it. It's like coming to the end of the year. There's not really like major stakes because things are kind of slowing down, but it's just fun. People everyone gets into the spirit of things.
Justin, any thoughts on these holiday? Do you think that this is something they need to fight for, or is this one of the things that they should change and maybe do these holiday shows in other cities?
Well, I mean, MSG's got a certain history. I mean, I'll say the holiday tour shows are fun. They're actually going to be in Pittsburgh 2 days after the MSG show. The holiday shows are fun. They are. The house shows have a certain charm to them. I think they're going to do this MSG show, and they're not going to drop it. The reason being is because you might notice you never get TV or PLE at MSG anymore. The reason being is that the cost for them to turn the cameras on and do television or streaming at MSG is so damn expensive. It's why they do everything at Barclays now, mm-hmm. in the New York market. So I say all that for the point of MSG still has so much history. Yes, I know we don't say the name McMahon anymore in WWE, but it's still MSG is still very much a house that WWE helped build. You know, we used to say it's the house that McMahon's helped build. We don't say McMahon anymore, but we'll just say it's a house that WWE helped build. It's still very important to the history of the company. It's still very important to the history of the sport. Triple H being who he is and a lover of history, I don't see him advocating for us doing away with not going back to the most famous arena in the world. But if it still means, hey, it doesn't make sense for us to do TV here anymore, then let's try to find a feel-good time where we do it around the holidays. Let's, you know, WWE is still essentially headquartered in New York, Stanford, but of course just New York. So right. So it makes sense that around the holiday that they would do the show there. They would put marketing to that. So I would be very surprised if they did away with this tradition.
Well, I love it. I always think it's fun to see the fan cams because we don't get to see the real video. But speaking of things that will be on video, Nick Khan says that there's going to be yet another Netflix docuseries. According to Bloomberg, the company plans to release a behind-the-scenes docuseries as part of its contractual deal with the world's leading streamer. In addition to this, a trademark has been filed for WWE Legends and Future Greats, as well as WWE LFG. Justin, got to admit, when I saw that they filed a trademark for WWE LFG, I thought it was Let's Go. But thoughts on another documentary, a docuseries coming out?
Well, these things are always a big hit. You know, we don't ever know the numbers on Peacock or any of the streaming platforms, but we can see the buzz and the trendiness and the conversation piece they are on social media, and then whatever teasers and excerpts they put onto YouTube and such. Yeah, we can see the number count there. Look, in a business that used to be kayfabe and you don't talk about or reveal any of the secrets, today in 2024, almost 2025, that's what sells the most. People want to see, you know, what's behind the curtain and how the sausage gets made is as entertaining and sought after as what's in front of the curtain and how a sausage tastes. That's just the reality. And so the people want to see behind the scenes. They want to know the real story. Everybody is smartened up to the point that it is a show. And so this doesn't surprise me. This is what Netflix made their money off of and got big is this kind of content. They still do. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't shock me that now they have WWE as their new hottest partner and property that they would want to have that kind of content. So yeah, it'll be a home run. I can tell you right now, not even knowing any of the details and all the vagueness we have, it's going to be a huge success. The way the production quality, the content matter, it's going to have people talking. I can already tell you that with confidence.
The combination of the fact that they have made these so good, but now they've able to give us what we want in these, but also find a way to work in storylines that we're seeing on the show at the same time is just been such a stroke of genius. But also, there's so many people trying to figure out what's going on behind the scenes. It feels like it's a smart move to give us their own take of it, because it sort of takes away the power of the quote unquote dirt sheets when WWE themselves is showing you what happened behind the scenes. Emily, what are your thoughts on this? And reckless speculation time. What will WWE Legends and Future Greats be? What's that show going to be about?
Oh my God. Okay. So I think that this new documentary leading into the debut, I think it's a very smart move. I think it makes sense. They built it into the deal because you have to think about that statistic that 80% of households are going to have access to WWE programming. It's a huge number. So this documentary is a way to introduce new people, new fans, new demographics to the product before they're like, oh, we have this show in January. They might know of Raw and they might know of WWE, but who are the characters? Who are the people behind it? And it's okay to like kind of peel back the curtain a little bit, because like Justin says, that's okay to do now. It's okay to, you know, figure out who's doing what happened, because Netflix is so great about kind of producing these documentaries. They've been so famous about like Tiger King and all of these things that have went viral. And so now you have like a media sports conglomerate behind you with WWE and then Netflix combined. It just makes sense. It's so smart. And I can't even imagine the advertising dollars and just all of the sponsors, everyone that's going to want to be a part of it and get in on that documentary. So I think it's super smart.
I just want to say to your point and keep going. You gave the stat and that's an amazing stat. You're right. 80% of households in the world, mind you, we're not talking about domestically in the US world.
Yes.
And, you know, look, WWE had an early little bit of better success of this back when they launched Total Divas on E. When they launched Total Divas, the reality show, there, and there's been articles and metrics and studies, the amount of increase they got in female audience mm-hmm. that was not already watching them, but watched that reality show and knew who the Bellas were and knew who Natty was and further knew who John Cena was because John was dating. Like, that opened them up to a whole. And so I, to kind of what Em was saying, I'm just kind of piggybacking. I can see them strategically having other series, other document, what have you, mm-hmm. that will have that same effect. But no disrespect to the E channel. We all of us here in the US watch the E and we watch the red carpets and, you know, whatever. But okay, that's the E channel. We're talking about Netflix, 80% of the world, as Em said. So mm-hmm. this again could be a massive door that they blow open with dynamite to get new eyes. Maybe not watching every Raw, maybe not watching every PLE, but aware. And then you little by little try to pull them in closer and closer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've seen this outside of pro wrestling with like the Ultimate Fighter and how that got people tuned into UFC because they figured out these guys were more than just kicks and punches in the octagon. They became people who we knew and we loved or we hated. And things like Total Divas is one of the big reasons that the Women's Evolution was so successful, is because we now knew who these people were. They weren't just people that came out and wrestled a match. And so this is just, it's brilliant that they're doing this, and it's great for everyone involved. And whatever this Legends and Future Greats is, I like to think it's going to be a reality show where you've got old wrestlers and new wrestlers living in one house. And
yeah, it's like the real Housewives, no, or the Real World of
they yes. did that once. They did Legends House.
Legends House.
Yeah. Once. I mean, Jack, what I think this Legends show is going to be is really the vibe I get that it will be some type of reality show, documentary, some type of maybe a mix of both, where you have the legends that have shaped the industry of wrestling and sports entertainment, but also you have the new up and coming talent that are learning from the greats. So maybe it's more of that type of reality, that kind of type of reality show. But I don't know. But it also feels like a kind of the documentaries and shows they already have on like A&E, where they go through the archives and they're finding some of the archival materials, things like that. So it kind of feels like that too. But they also, the description is very vague in the trademark.
Yeah.
So it could definitely encapsulate a lot.
Make it a reality show. Just find a house and make Goldberg and Bret Hart live together for 6 weeks, and they have to do certain like you know, couple building skill tasks. Like, you know, they got to, like, you know, finish each other's sentences. They got to do like the game that you play. Yeah, they got to just do different games. Just couple, but that alone. And pick Jimmy Hart, the person who's the most least controversial and everybody loves. Jimmy Hart has to host it. He checks in and opens up the house every day.
I got the first game right here.
The first game is Bret Hart, Bill Goldberg have to each cook something in the kitchen at the same time, but they're cooking something different and they're in each other's way.
I think we should do a Love is Blind matchup, like love reality show where you don't know who it is. You just have to guess through the voice, which could be really fun. And then they have to get to know each other, because you might meet legends that you don't know. And then you gotta...
That would be fantastic, because I think most people, we'd get the voice like right away.
Like, well, we get to see what's happening, but the people inside the pods don't know what's happening. Like, that's what makes it fun.
I would like Goldberg and Bret Hart to be like in a situation where they don't know who they're talking to, but then Bret Hart just hears Goldberg's voice and is just like, man, this guy. This guy. Vince Russo is one of the people that you can't see. And we're like, he said bro 7,000 times. I think I know who this is.
We all know a great worker when we see one. And that's what the guys at 5-9 Whiskey are. Like a performer who leaves it all in the ring, the crew at Troll Co. have made a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. You see, two old field guys figured, why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on? And who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey? 5-9 is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They put in the work. The name 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., not the 9 to 5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat, tears, and more. Real life road warriors. They work hard, and now they're pouring that same energy into the whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. Cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's FiveNineWhiskey.com. And use promo code WRESTLING20, that's 20, for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about Monday Night Raw. I want to talk about all the people, though, who I call our co-hosts here in the chat, though. Ray J's World, Ethan Cruz, Laura Rock, The King Art. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Slater, April Greenwood, Troy Corsi, Shelbowski. Haven't seen in a while. Shelbowski, Tox Kazim, Kieran Wright, and everyone else. Appreciate you all. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Five-star review on Apple Podcasts. Two things I want to talk about right off the top. Emily, I'm going to send this one to you first. First off, the Crown Jewel Championship, the way they presented that today and just how seriously they presented it, I loved it, made it feel very important. Also, something that felt very important, Lillian Garcia coming back. We alluded to it at the beginning of the show. Thoughts on Lillian being back?
I mean, this was obviously, we were in shock from the Samantha announcement, but to hear Lillian again, I think all got all of us very nostalgic. I think it's incredible to see her again in a WWE ring, announce a full show, and hear her voice again. I think this is an incredible opportunity for her. I love how everyone was just like welcoming her back online, and I think it's going to be really special. I think we definitely are in an interesting era of WWE programming. The fact that all these legends that we never thought would come back are coming back. And I mean, I'm assuming it's official that she's full-time ring announcing for Raw. They didn't specifically say, but I'm assuming that that is the case with the news from earlier. But yeah, I'm excited. I think all of us got a little, I got a little like, emotional because it's such a throwback for many of us who enjoyed listening to her.
Justin, do you think she back full time or is this like a one-off?
I don't think it's a one-off. I think she is back full time for a certain time period that they've agreed upon, and whether or not that time period gets extended or what have you, we'll see. But I think it's not like she was just here for tonight and then next week it's Mike Rome. No, I think she's back for a little bit. And let me just say this, I mean this in all the, with all the respect, and it's a compliment, but I mean, it is a visual business. So she is 58 and she looks like she's 30. Like she looks like what she looked like when she was 38.
Isn't that wild?
Just again, I know it's not, it shouldn't be all to be, I'm not trying to sound whatever, mm-hmm. Guy judging. I'm not judging. I'm complimenting. Yeah. What woman's looks. I was looking, listening. I'm like, gosh, yeah, she sounds good. Yeah, she looks good. And I just had this thing. I was like, well, it's 2024. I remember going to a show in 2006, and she was like, you can't start working till you're 18. I was like, how the hell old could she be? And I pulled up to Google. I was like, you gotta be. I was like, really? She's 58. I'm like, she looks. Whatever she is doing, good on you, Lillian. Glad you're back on our TV screens.
Yeah, it's the way people in this industry have aged, or not aged, I should say, over the past few years has been incredible. When you look at like a Bobby Lashley, when you look at Billy Gunn, still jacked as ever, Lillian Garcia, it's good for them.
Just yeah. Good, there's good something problem. In the water. I need to know what water they're drinking.
we got, this next segment I want to talk about. My eyes were wide. My mouth was agape, as they say. Jey Uso versus Braun Breaker for the Intercontinental Championship. Solo Sikoa shows up with tickets at ringside, and they tries to help Jey Uso. Jey super kicks the bloodline, and eventually Braun Breaker spears Solo Sikoa. And I was like, oh, here we go. We got a Jacob Fatu, Braun Breaker stared down. I couldn't believe it. Adam Pearce got involved. Try doing that every now and again, Nick Aldis. Braun Breaker eventually regains the Intercontinental Championship. Justin Labar, this was the kind of nut house, crazy, chaotic wrestling that I love.
Yeah, it was exciting. And yeah, real quick, I mean, that stare down, straps go down by Braun Breaker. He steps up to Jacob Fatu. That crowd was on their feet. Oof. They were there for it. So I don't think it's going to be next week or even next month, but I think you got to. That's a little seed, and we'll water it. We'll come back to
that's
it.
A big seed.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's, yeah. That was a big. Like they were staring at each other for a long time.
That was intense. If you stuck your nose in the air, that's the baby smell of money getting ready. That'll be made later.
Cash that in.
Yeah,
musky. Exactly.
That was this was fun. Look, this makes a lot of sense on several levels, right? Jey Uso losing his IC title, it does exactly what now Jimmy has been saying to Roman, and now Jay's going to have to start to cut, which is, I need help. There's too many of them. We can't do this alone. Mm-hmm. You know, Jey Uso, had he had help, that wouldn't, he would have not lost his precious IC title. So just from a logic standpoint, that's there. And then if we want to peel the curtain back and kind of give the behind the scenes answer, Jey Uso is obviously getting back involved with the bloodline and with all the story that's going on. It seems like this chapter, this inning, is all building towards Survivor Series and some type of a team versus team bloodline 2.0 versus OG bloodline. And Jey would be involved in that. And so having said that, it just by the nature of what he would be doing, it kind of just would null and void the IC title a little bit. Right. It might be a hard balance, especially right now with Raw being an hour less. It might be a hard balance to like have Jey be meaningful and actively involved in that saga, which is a main event saga, but then also have emotion and the audience have emotion to care about him and the IC title and who's challenging him. So, you know, the IC title certainly has got a lot of momentum in these last few years coming off of Gunther's historic run. So it makes sense. If Jay's going to go do that, let's give the IC title back to somebody else who can keep its momentum and its status high. Braun Breaker can certainly do that. And so this makes a lot of sense right now where we're at.
It definitely felt like you hear about people talk about how championships are about, like, I don't want to say a prop, but they're there to help tell a story at the end of the day. And it really did help tell the story. Jey Uso got his championship reign, but also he could go to Roman, he could go to Jimmy and say, listen, I'm able to be successful on my own. I did it on my own without you guys. If he didn't have a championship, that wouldn't have hit quite the same. Now it's back on Braun Breaker. Things are right back where they need to be. Emily, your thoughts on this? I am, again, super giddy about it, but let me ask you the hard question here is, they made a big deal about Jey Uso finally winning a championship after 14 years, losing it in 4 weeks. Does that kind of diminish him winning the championship?
Well, and this is where I have very, very mixed feelings about what happened tonight, because everyone was so behind Jey Uso winning the IC title, and he was on this huge momentum kick. He was showing up on, you know, SmackDown, kind of, you know, with Jimmy's return. They're planting these seeds, and again, we alluded to that earlier, that they're planting these seeds of Roman potentially and trying to figure out this bloodline saga, right? And I get that aspect of the storytelling, right? But the IC title was his moment. And for it to go away in 4 weeks or like 29 days or something, it's just really hard to swallow as fans. And so in that sense, it could help push this Bloodline saga further and he can go focus on that, figure out what he is going to do. So like you said, Jack, it opens him up to make that decision. Because as champion, if you're too distracted on making sure you're holding this title, you're not going to necessarily go and want to handle all that other Bloodline business. So I get it. So there's a lot of feelings I have right now. I think Bron Breakker, it makes sense for him to hold it and to regain it, but I'm a little disappointed.
Justin, I want you to respond to that, but I also want to read some comments here in the chat that I've seen. Justin Marco Romano says, bad booking. Goes on to say, he's the hottest babyface. How does this make sense? Sean Ellis says he got screwed like Kofi Kingston winning the World Heavyweight Championship.
No, that's
the what is your responses to that kind of response to this matchup?
No, this is way different than Kofi's situation. No, it's not. Yeah, he is a hot babyface. But here's the thing. He's a hot babyface on Raw who has the IC title, the secondary title, but still it's got a lot of prestige. Let's try to appease everybody. Let's say, okay, I want him to hold it until at least Royal Rumble, and then he can have lost it by then, because if he loses it by Rumble, then him being titleless makes him more realistic to be a probable winner of the Royal Rumble. Okay, let's say that he has to hold it now for 3 more months until Rumble's in early February. I'm gonna be real with everybody. Raw right now doesn't have enough good, credible heel challengers to challenge him to keep his IC title run at the level that it should be. That's just reality. Mm-hmm. WWE right now, especially on Raw, is doing way better with baby faces, or at least acts that because the Wyatt sticks in there, acts that the crowd is cheering, not booing, than they are like full-fledged heels. So one, I don't think that, if anything, his run might start to suck, not because of him, but just because he doesn't have, and look, the Triple H era has shown us they actively try to avoid that terrible thing that Vince's era did for his final however many years, which is rematch. They really try to avoid that unless it is like a intense, direct best of seven, something like that. So one, I don't think Jey Uso having the title for 3 more months would have been the run that you think that it would be. Two, yes, he is very hot and very over. So let's transfer and take that over, and let's have Roman freaking Reigns trying to recruit him and trying to basically say, yo, man, I screwed up and I need you. Roman's slowly tiptoeing it. And he's going to continue to get a little bit louder. And as he finally says, I need you. And when that embrace finally happens, that embrace and that moment and that crowd reaction is going to be bigger than the crowd reaction of when Jey Uso won the IC title. It's a bigger picture. And he won the IC title. You can't take that away from him. He defended it a couple times. You can't take that away from him. And so now he could always win it back later if that's what they want to do. But anyways, he's won that title. He's defended it. He's lost it. Now you can move him up in your mental rankings and go, okay, I can now see Jey Uso maybe coming back and challenging for one of the world titles one day, whether it's the title that Gunther has or what have you. So like, fans get, I think, too caught up, and they're very emotional and they're supportive of him, which that's awesome. But you got to look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is his IC title run probably wouldn't have been as good because he didn't have as many challengers coming up down the pike. And this is going to be even bigger what this could lead to for him.
I have to agree. I think, too, that in the moment, I get that it's a bummer. Tox Kazim with the super chat says, depressed over Samantha and Jey Uso. I get being depressed today, but I think, to Justin's point, in a few weeks, Jey Uso is still going to have the prestige of being a former Intercontinental Champion. But he's going to be off into something so much bigger that you're going to think he's in a way better spot than he is now.
He's going to be, by the time we get into 2025 and we're in Mania season, I think you both would agree with me here, and hopefully most of the chat would. By that point, Jey Uso, as if he's back in this Bloodline family struggle, He is going to be sharing screen time with The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
That is a bigger deal than being IC champion and having, I mean, pick a mid-carder. I don't want to even name somebody because I don't want to be disparaging them, but the point, I think the point's there. It's The freaking Rock.
It's kind of like a small, tough trade now for like the larger outcome, the larger result. You got to like that bigger picture. If you're on the road to WrestleMania, we got Royal Rumble, like you said, coming up, you know, there could be bigger moments for him down the line. And that's what they're planting the seed for, because it's also that like revenge, that vengeance, you know, storyline. How do you get that back? How do you get your honor back and perhaps bigger championship gold than the IC title?
Yeah.
You know, it's all in the works, and it is a little sad today. And I understand the fans are upset and we all have feelings about it, but sometimes you got to look at it, like Justin said, a little strategically, right?
If the two are movies, and especially because of Bloodline, it's such a cinematic big thing here. If Jay being the IC champion is a movie, and then the whole Bloodline saga that's going to carry in and be, again, probably the lead to WrestleMania, it's the difference of, okay, Jay, you can be the star of the, you know, you can be the star of the independent film or the lower budgeted film, or you can be the star of that one, or you can be one of the secondary build guys in the Scorsese picture that's going to be nominated for Best Picture and everything else. Which one do you think is going to be better for your career? You know, it's that kind of a trade-off. You know, both are admirable, but it's a big business decision here.
Before we leave, I love, there's an analogy I want to say to that is Glenn Powell, famously from the new Top Gun movie, told in a story he almost passed on the role because he wasn't the main character. But Tom Cruise said to him, he said, what kind of career do you want to have? And Glenn Powell said, I want to have a career like Tom Cruise. And he said, well, then what you need to do is pick the good movies. Don't necessarily take the biggest role. Yeah. And so he took the smaller role in the bigger movie. And now he's on every movie you see. It's almost sickening. Glenn Powell, you're everywhere. Take a vacation. Why don't you? to that point, we do have a super chat from Jose Topete who says, dance time. Time to yeet.
Yee!
I love it. We got another. Yeah, that's the end of the show, by the way. Total chaos and anarchy. My kind of pro wrestling. We started the show with chaos and anarchy. Seth Rollins jumps Bronson Reed to start the show, makes his way to the ring. Seth Rollins says, let's go, big boy. But security is there, but not enough of them to stop Bronson Reed. Seth Rollins moves away at the last minute to avoid a tsunami through the announce table. These guys continue to fight throughout the show until eventually a very frustrated Adam Pearce says they will get a shot at each other. Emily May, I said it earlier, I say it all the time, I love these hot starts. I love the chaos. I love violence everywhere. This is my kind of show.
Violence everywhere. This was really cinematic. When we're talking about cinematic opening to Raw. There wasn't an announcement. There wasn't a match announcement. It was, no, we're going to fight. And that's what it was all about. I love the chaos of it all. Adam Pearce, I have to say, had a really tough night as general manager, trying to keep things under control. We saw the chaos he was trying to keep in line all night. I don't think he quite succeeded. We obviously saw the chaos continue, through the episode. But to have this happen and then he make this match official for Crown Jewel, that was exciting. But you saw him. He was so, like, the veins were popping out of his neck. It was quite intense.
We almost saw Scrap Daddy make a return.
Yeah.
but Justin, I want to talk to you. We talk about the biggest feuds of the year. I think a lot of people would say CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. I think a lot of people would say maybe Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns from earlier in the year. I'm going to add a third one, Bronson Reed versus security. This is one of my favorite rivalries of the year.
Yeah, if you're an independent wrestler applying for extra work, you better know at this point you're getting into it with Bronson Reed. You better be.
Make sure Bronson Reed's on the show that night. Yeah. Make sure you are a security guard because you're going to get thrown around.
Or make sure he's not on the show. That's the last thing I'd
want. No, if he's on the show, you know you're getting screen time. You're not going to. You're not sure. Yeah, if he's
not worth it to me.
If he's no. Look,
Jack
look.
Will run away. Jack's a little afraid.
No, Jack. Reed. Jack, if you're an extra, if you're an extra, depending on what physicality they ask of you, you get more money. So I mean,
in that case,
yeah, you want that money. Even if it's in rehearsals. By the way, fun
Bring
fact.
The
even,
tsunami,
even if,
baby.
Even if they use you in rehearsals to test something, you get a little bonus. So no, you if Bronson's on it, you want to be on it because you want that screen time. You want that payday. This is fun. I got a crack up of Bronson Reed. He's showing up. They're like, oh, he's showing up now in real time. So he's showing up as the show starts. Well, bro, you're already late, so you look bad. You missed the call time. Showing up late. Then he gets beat up with his own luggage. No, this is fun though. It's fun because it kept this momentum of this feud that's been going on. They also kept. I think Joe Tessitore cost. I forget what he referenced it as, but he basically referenced it as like this style of chaos that we've been seeing. We saw it with Bronson Reed and Braun Strowman, and it's carrying over here. It's that monster movie thing, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's just over the top, ridiculous chaos and carnage spots. So they do it in the opening. They just absolutely destroy and kill the announce desk, which they set the announce desk back up, which that's a pet peeve of mine, but that's another thing. But then they kept doing it the whole night, and finally that last time when Pierce is talking to and they just bulldoze in, I out loud chuckled. I was like, this is funny at this point, but funny in a good way. I still am taking this seriously. I still want to see these two. I'm excited to see the match at Crown Jewel because I am genuinely interested. Like, okay, how does this match go? Seth appears to be back. It appears to be healthy. They obviously want to continue to put Bronson Reed over. Does Bronson Reed actually get a legitimate pinfall victory on Seth? What's it going to be? This is well done. And again, we talked about the IC title a minute ago. I mean, Bronson Reed, his stock is rising. He is one of the better heels that Monday Night Raw has got coming up quick.
Yeah. And what's great about Bronson is he can you could put him anywhere. And I feel like, you know, you need him to take a loss to CM Punk on a Monday. Cool. You need him to beat Seth Rollins at Crown Jewel. Cool. Like, you can really do anything with him. And you're like, oh, it works. Bronson Reed is such a utility player in that regard.
Yeah. He's very versatile in that way, Jack.
Any final thoughts before we move on, Emily?
No. I just thought it was really entertaining. Like, a hot start to Raw. It was great.
We got Damage Control and Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez both trying to cut a promo at the same time. That leads to a match that ends with Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson causing a DQ when they attack Damage Control. Before Liv and Raquel can deal with Legend and Jackson, Ripley comes in and gets through Raquel before putting a hurting on Morgan and on Dom Mysterio. Justin, this was a couple of different things happening all at the same time. This is a chaotic night. So this was I love this Raw. This was my kind of Raw. My big question for you though is, did Raquel get neutralized a little too easily this early on in her bodyguarding time?
Yeah, you can make a case for that. Yeah, because whenever you are the heater, the bodyguard, you do need to be protected for a certain amount of time for it to sink in and for it to be effective. Mm-hmm. So, and she has made so much of her WWE career prior being a babyface out there. And I love Raquel, by the way. I'm just talking here for real.
Yeah.
She was always out there smiling, showing off the back muscles and, you know, all that stuff. So like, you know, it's not like she was somebody brand new coming in as a heel and you just only know her as a heel, you know? So I do think there's something to that point. You know, it's kind of like, in a way, like over in AEW, like you got Camille with Mercedes Moné, and like Camille has not been, they have not utilized and leaned on her being the bodyguard as much as they should have. Mercedes is getting too much done without needing Camille. So it's like, well, what's the point of having Camille? So yeah, there's a point to that. Very chaotic. I think that speaks to the 2-hour show. We gotta tighten things up. We gotta get a little more chaotic to get some stuff in. Women's tag division's got some depth. They're starting to grab some depth. So that's good. And then Rhea, she grabs Dirty Dom and slings him in the ring. And that was the biggest pop of the night. Yeah. And this is not the first time she's gotten physical with Dom, but it goes to show you there is still meat on that bone. There is still money to be made that people just want to see Rhea beat the dog crap out of Dom. That's still there. So I'm not sure where we're going. We've already got Dom in a shark cage before. I'm not sure where else we are going, but don't abandon it because it's there. It, the people still want it.
Yeah. Emily, do you think we should that? Cause that raises the question. I think we all really want to see, with no disrespect to Liv, but I think we really want to see Dom versus Rhea. Do you think we should get that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need that. I mean, we saw the Dom the Pinata at Bad Blood. We got a little taste of that. And that was one of the biggest moments of the night. And that's what I think fans are craving. That's why I think that hit so hard tonight is we want to lock Dom and Rhea in, you know, in a room and see what happens, like in a rage room and just like see the chaos that ensues. But I think, and there's also still a little meat on the bones with between her and Liv, like all of that tension, all of that frustration is still there. There's obviously that animosity towards Raquel for ruining that, for messing up that, that Bad Blood match. And so there's a lot here still. And again, I think to your point, Justin, there is that chaos that they're trying to, there was a lot of like huge segments for each match tonight. It was like, well, we're bringing everyone out tonight. There's a big chaotic moment, either at the beginning or the end of each moment tonight, which we'll get to. But that's how I felt like we were expecting something big for each moment. And this definitely delivered.
And that's a fine line to walk to not overbook things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And how do you tell that story and how do you like make it calm down in the chaos so that Rhea could get that moment with Dom? How do you calm everything down so people can focus on just that little moment and then move on to the next? So it is like a fine balance that they're kind of trying to find on Raw right now.
Well, somewhere where there was a tightrope of a balancing act when it comes to the chaos is another chaotic segment. New Day versus the Final Testament. I wrote Judgment Day in my notes here. That's not good. But so the number
you're so overwhelmed by all the
The Miz watches on and chats up with Karrion Kross until R-Truth comes out of nowhere like an RKO and attacks The Miz, fights off Kross, and the New Day are able to get the win. After the match, Final Testament attacks R-Truth while Kofi wants to help Truth. Wood says they need to focus on the titles. Fortunately for Truth, the Wyatt Six arrive and lay waste to the Final Testament. Miz, thinking he got away with it all, is about to get clawed by Uncle Howdy, but Paul Ellering takes the bullet. Emily May, Jimmy Corderas has a phrase, and it's too many potatoes for the potato sack or something like 20 pounds of potatoes
and 10-pound bag.
Totally misquoted it, but whatever. My question is, now I'm just going to put it out there. So again, I love the chaos. I was eating tonight. I was eating all these potatoes tonight, but Emily, was this 20 pounds of potatoes in a 10-pound bag?
I mean, so I did feel like we were going from like one thing, like it was kind of like a waterfall, like it kind of started trickling. And then this one was like ultimate chaos where I was trying to figure out exactly what they're trying to say. What are they trying to put across to the audience here with all of this chaos? You know, obviously the Wyatt Six coming out, just, you know, making, you know, the Final Testament take a lot of that. And I'm trying to find those dots to connect. Like Ellering took that last spot with Uncle Howdy, kind of, I don't know, saved the Miz. I don't know if you could even say that. But it's I am intrigued by Wyatt Six. I think it's adding a lot of the mystery. But what does this help do for the Miz and, you know, R-Truth and stuff like that? That's what I'm like trying to figure out. What is that? Too many sweet potatoes.
Too many sweet potatoes in a russet sack.
I feel like there was a lot.
Knows their potatoes. That's a good potato.
I like potato skins. I like mashed potatoes.
I love cheesy potatoes, scalloped like potatoes.
I love like the cheesy Julian potatoes.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I love potatoes.
Was that tonight though? So Justin, was this segment the cheesy potatoes, the scalloped cheesy potatoes, or was it the russet?
You know, third, it's got to work up to the cheesy scallop potatoes.
Cheesy scallop potatoes is the
tonight. tonight wasn't quite mashed potatoes with gravy. Tonight was mashed potatoes, a little bit of butter mixed in. I mean, with a lot of potatoes,
still good.
Yeah. Still good, but not as good as with the gravy. The truth miss, it was a lot. First, it really was the truth miss thing because it's been going over so long. That helps give it a pass because like. It's not like we're having to try to establish something new, right? So it's just there. You know it, and again, that's a match or a feud that probably doesn't make a PLE, especially because they keep these PLEs tighter. But it's a match that somewhere in the next month they're going to advertise it as a featured match or a main event to Raw, and you're going to tune into Raw to see that. Like it's got that kind of status to where we can build it for Raw. I'm fine with the Wyatt Six, the Final Testament. I had said earlier this fall that I thought once Wyatt Six was done with Chad Gable and crew, that the only other opponents on Raw that I could see was Final Testament. One, because nobody wants to, again, boo the Wyatt Six. It's still a tribute band and project to the memory of Bray, so nobody wants to boo that. And so you have to find a group that's a heel. You have to find a group of people that are heels. And after you do the Chad Gable thing, it's like you look elsewhere. Like Judgment Day was just kind of too serious and too high up the card, especially with all the stuff they had going on with Rhea. So it's like the only other group was Final Testament. And you want to find a group that has a female, so that way Nikki Cross has somebody and Final Testament has a Scarlett. So I don't know what's going to come out of this. I don't know how much meat on the bone is going to be there in the dialogue and the promos of why they're attacking Final Testament. And unfortunately, Final Testament needs some wins and what have you. And I don't think they're going to get it out of this. So I'm not. This is fine for Wyatt Six. And the Wyatt Six has been off TV for however many weeks. And the crowd was chanting, "This is awesome." And holy, you know, they were. Still, the appearance of the Wyatt Six still gets these crowds up. So that's good. They're still an attraction. The Final Testament, I like Cross. I like Scarlett. AOP is kind of like a Triple H project. The Triple H ain't going to give up, but that's a whole other thing. I'm not really sure where they go. Maybe they lose to Wyatt Six, and maybe let's not look at it as a demotion. Let's just look at it as a reset. And we've seen other people have a little bit of a reset and it work for them. Maybe they go to NXT and have a reset. Maybe that's what's needed. Let's just get a fresh coat of paint. Karrion Kross had his best time in NXT. Maybe let's just refresh things here.
With American Made after their rivalry with Wyatt Six. But Justin, I want to bring back to the point you talk about how they need to win. Am I over analyzing or being overcritical with, I felt like this didn't land for me quite as well because AOP just took a loss and then got beat up by Wyatt Six. It felt like it didn't, if I just watched the team lose, it doesn't feel that impressive that you go and beat them up after they lost. Like, I feel like the New Day could have continued the same exact story if they lost, and then AOP would have at least had like a win going into this future.
No, I agree. New Day has been on such different pages, and we're slow burning this tease of a split. I agree. I think you're right. You probably could have. It would have hit better if AOP gets a win because of a miscommunication with the New Day, and then do this. I like the people. I like all the participants in Final Testament. There's just nothing is really landing.
I think them being on the same show as Judgment Day really hurts them. And now the Wyatt Six. It feels like I've got creepy. I got better creepy, and I've got better just mean biker bad guy team on the same show.
I don't know about you, but I look at Final Testament. They're like they have like this rogue apocalypse kind of look to them and feel to them. Cross says some cool things in promos. Paul Ellering has credibility in history, but like they just don't do anything that matters. Maybe an NXT trip might reinvigorate them.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Do you think there's going to be, because we've seen a lot more of the tag teams kind of cross over from NXT kind of across brands. You think we're going to see some rebranding in 2025, some some kind of restructuring of the tag teams a bit?
Maybe, and especially now that NXT's back on the road, having people that have been on Raw or SmackDown on mm-hmm. the show isn't going to hurt things in your effort to try to sell tickets, even if you are going to smaller venues. Like, it's not a bad thing. So, you know, look, Baron Corbin went to NXT, and that was a nice little reinvigoration. We've seen it, and it's again, I don't like to view it as a demotion.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to look at it as like the brand that's down here below. It's kind of the brand that's just over here as the alternative. You know, we know that developmental flows through it, but also it puts on quality of shows that it does, that it doesn't feel like it's AAA compared to Major League. It's just like kind of their alternative spinoff that they do over here.
Yeah.
I think that AOP or Final Testament on NXT would actually work really well because they are so different from everything else mm-hmm. on NXT right now. Like I said, we got a lot of stables on the main roster that are already dominant factions. We've also got dark and scary factions. But in NXT, everything's kind of light and fun. And if you have this mean destroyer group that's not colorful, not fun at all, it stands out and it's different. And I think having them go through and run through Chase University or whoever would look different than it looks when I just watched the Judgment Day run through somebody. You know what yeah. I mean?
I mean, I think the example that I know we already kind of talked about the Damage Control versus Liv Morgan and with Raquel and stuff, but the fact that Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson were there again tonight, kind of keeping an eye on things, and that we've seen them the last couple of weeks have matches on SmackDown, things like that. They have their big match tomorrow on NXT. It's showing that these three brands are not as separate as I think in previous times, and that they're using these different networks, these different platforms to bring NXT talent into the fold on these larger brands so that they're ready for Tuesday nights. And again, expanding that demographic. If like Raw, if people are just watching SmackDown or they're just watching Raw, they're like, oh, I just saw them, I'm going to go over and watch NXT. So there's this kind of this cross promotion that's happening, which I think they're really succeeding really well right now with that team.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, it's brand synergy. Mm-hmm. It used to be exactly. when Vince ran Raw and SmackDown and Triple H ran NXT, NXT was like out of spite. It's like Vince looked at it as like, okay, here's this $1 million budget that I'm funding, and it's your indie show, or you're bringing Samoa Joe in, and you're bringing, you know, now it you know, with Triple H running Raw and SmackDown creative, and his legit best friend and Shawn Michaels running NXT, there's a lot more synergy. Hey, let's get some things on the same page. Let's have a game plan, you know, here, and that's what they're doing.
So we got also LWO versus American Made. LWO clinches the third spot in that upcoming triple threat matchup for the tag team number one contendership. Not a lot to take away from this one, but Justin, something that I posed on Twitter, I want to pose to you. Rey Mysterio Jr., top 10. Is he a top 10 wrestler all time?
It would depend on what our criteria is, what we're asking about.
By the way, let me say this. Maybe WrestleMania on. I know there's someone who's like, well, Ham Bone Caboose from 1935 was one of the best. You know, let's say WrestleMania 1 and on. Let's forget about all the
Let me say this. He is top 10, probably top 5, if you're talking about greatest baby faces ever. Mm-hmm. I've been to Mexico once, and Rey Mysterio is extremely recognizable in the whole likeness. So the fact that he's crossed the generations and the cultures he had, and the fact that other than like one blip of a very bad time at WCW that nobody even thinks about, he's been a babyface forever, which is like, that's just unheard of. Hulk Hogan was a freaking heel for a while. I mean, like, everybody, Stone Cold Steve Austin turned and was a heel so the fact that Rey Mysterio has been a heel for basically all of his career, and he's crossed these cultures and these generations, and he's been around for 30 plus years, easily one of the top 5 best baby faces ever. I'll give you that one.
Okay. Emily, do you think he's top 10 of all time? And what's your thoughts on the long and storied career of Hambone Caboose? I don't know. That just sounds like an old wrestler name to me.
Let's have more of it. Let's go. Let's...
He fought Haystack Calhoun.
That's Calhoun. And...
I mean, of course. I mean, I think obviously top 10. You know, maybe some people might say top 5. Legend.
Yeah. We end the day with a couple of backstage segments. Judgment Day says things aren't good in the clubhouse. Carlito is eventually put to work as a fixer, and Finn is bothered by Damian Priest. Carlito, being a fixer and all, looks to get Dominic Mysterio a title shot, but Damian Priest says he's going to be waiting for Gunther when he's done with Cody Rhodes. Emily, any thoughts on these segments and Carlito the fixer? That's my favorite character.
I mean, I love this. But Carlito has been this kind of like background character a little bit in the sense of Judgment Day, right? Like he had that moment with the apple, like he dropped it. And like he's like kind of the comedic character. So I like how they gave him an official like role. Like this is his objective, right? He's the fixer, and it just is adding this little comedic element to Judgment Day, and I'm all for it. I'm a little concerned about Damian Priest, though. I think that's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, the fixer is a nice role because if you caught something there, he goes to Pierce thinking that he's fixing it,
and he
gets Pierce to agree that all right, Dom could have a match against Gunther if next week Dom can be a former world champion, but we don't know who that former world champion is. So it could be just a huge trap for Dom that the fixer screws up. So I feel like
it's like comedy of errors. It's going to be like, well, you're going to go here and you're going to go here. And Carlito's just going to cause all of this chaos.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so fantastic to watch.
Yeah. I don't know what city they're in next Monday. So if there's like a geographical connection of who they would, but like, former world champion, that could be anybody. Like, so like who randomly does Dom have to take on? You know, like it's just like if they were in Calgary next week, then Bret Hart would come out and beat the crap out of Dom.
Right it's such a fun Dom is such a great character for all these reasons.
Cheat, did you guys catch the new merch? Latino Cheat.
So good. I got to say, one of my favorite just little things that happened in all this was Carlito when he was talking to Adam Pearce, which, by the way, I want to see these guys interact more often. I thought they had great chemistry together. But then he was like, I'm a fixer. And Pearce was giving a hard time in that moment when he breaks, like, come on, Pearce, can you help me out? Like he quit trying to be the cool guy. He's like, come on, help me. He's like, okay, fine. It's just that Carlito is so good, underratedly good. I love Carlito.
So, Justin, to answer your question, it looks like they're in Hershey, Pennsylvania next week.
In Hershey for
that's what NXT Tornado
for Hollywood Havoc. Are they staying in Hershey for Raw too?
I guess so.
That's just weird. They do Philly one Monday and Hershey the next Monday. Those cities are pretty close together. I don't know. Well, we'll see. Maybe a giant chocolate kiss.
I know. I was like, is there gonna be like a big Hershey's kiss? Are they gonna go to Hershey's?
Maybe it's
World?
Sexual chocolate makes her.
Let's call Mark right now. Let's see if he's on it. Let's call
do what's happening on Twitter.
Let's do it. I'll call him right now.
I need a phone call right now.
Yeah.
What that'd be great for so many reasons, but also just by the way, one of the greatest theme songs in the world. Somebody gonna get that? I can't.
That's Mark Henry World Strongest Man. Sexual Chocolate is a different theme music. It's sexual, baby.
That's true. That's a good one too. But I like 3-6 Mafia.
we need a theme song karaoke to end this episode.
Somebody's gonna get their ass kicked. Somebody. Can we say that on the show? I don't know. I'm about to get thrown off the show. Somebody's going to their axe.
That's been on my workout playlist for like 2 decades now, or however long that song's been around. I love that one. But this was a great show. This is a great episode. I want everyone in the chat.
I'm as mean as a mean. I'm a nightmare dream. Root of all evil. Reap fear me. Somebody going to get their ass kicked.
That's such a good, song. As I'm lifting my 3-pound dumbbells, like with my headband. Let's go.
With your hair perfectly in place.
not a drop of sweat on me because I'm not working that hard. I want everyone in the chat, let us know what you thought of the show. Also, let us know your favorite fake old wrestler name, like Hambone Caboose. Or we had one in there. It was Drill Bit Hallahoon, Moose Chocolate. Any make up some good old school 1930 wrestler names. Leave them in the chat. Leave them in the comments. Justin, final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
No, entertaining Raw. I mean, obviously, these Raws at 2 hours are fun, as we talked about. They got a lot of momentum. I mean, obviously, you still got to take your commercial break, so there's that. But no, good Raw. They're rolling. I mean, the SmackDown in Brooklyn this Friday, it's going to be a big deal. And then obviously, we're going to Crown Jewel, which great that these Saudi shows that they're obligated to do, that they're giving these identities to, you know, champion versus champion for Crown Jewel, King and Queen in the ring back in the summer. So I like that. WWE's, it's a good time to be a WWE viewer. I'll just say that.
And where can we find you online?
At Justin Labar across the socials. I'm here with you two lovely people every Monday. And every Sunday, I'm co-hosting all 3 hours of Busted Open, 9 a.m. to noon. Woo! So that's a big thing. And then I'm on with Dave and Bully and Mark and Tommy, whatever, Thunder, Thursday or Friday, spar with Labar. Thunder will text me and be like, hey, you got to come on Friday. And you and Nick Nemeth, it's like the bat signal. They just throw up the signal and I swoop in and do my cheesy bit and then I leave. And so just follow me on social and you'll know.
It's not a cheesy bit. It's your gimmick. It's the best.
It's my shtick. Yeah. Dance monkey dance. Whenever they call, I just dance monkey dance.
Is that all of us in this kind of industry? Whatever.
Dance monkey dance.
By the way, in the chat, we got T Hawk Tua and Spit Take Guffaw. So lots of good names in there. Emily, final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
Again, a chaotic, fun Raw. I'm so excited to be joining the team for May Mondays. We're going to continue to have some fun. Follow me on all social platforms at Emily May Heller on X, on Instagram, all over. I have some exciting things happening in November. I'll announce soon. So just keep an eye on my socials. And that's where you'll catch me. And I'm excited to join you both every Monday.
That's a November tease right there.
Ooh, yeah.
Stay tuned, folks. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm covering Raw here. I'm covering AEW on Wednesdays, all on at Wrestling Inc., which you should be following on social media so that you can stay up to date on all the latest wrestling news. This is your new Monday Night Wrestling Inc. team. So get used to it. We will see you guys next week, but also make sure to tune in on Wednesday for the After AEW show. That does it for us. By the way, final thought, Droy J says potatoes better than pasta. We'll see you guys next time.
Potato skin, bacon.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.